This year marks the 100th anniversary of the United States entering World War I. I'm Lacey Scarmana for WVIK News. This week, I talked with Quad Times reporter Deirdre Baker about her big story, focusing on the impact of World War I on the Quad Cities.
Yes, Lacey, thanks. I've put a story together that focuses on what happened in the Quad Cities during World War I, and we've ended up dividing it into two basic sections. The first one looks at Davenport, which historians across the state of Iowa call Davenport the flashpoint at the perimeter, because the large German population was discriminated against, like, in a matter of days, right after President Wilson declared war on and aligned the U.S. with the Allies, Britain and France. So these people were upstanding members of the community one minute, and the second minute, and the second day, they were under suspicion by everybody who wasn't German at the time. So it turned out a dime, and in an alarming ways, life changed, the culture changed for those folks. The other part of our story talks about the soldiers that we were able to find, local relatives of six soldiers that represented our country's fight against Germany. We found relatives of soldiers from the African-American community. We found spokespersons from, we had the first woman who died in a combat situation in World War I. She was a teacher from Davenport. We have a soldier who was heroic during a horrific shipwreck between two ships called the Kashmir. He was on the Kashmir, and it bashed in the Otranto. Almost 500 men died in that collision, but our local person helped rescue the folks that were in the water.
And what did these relatives have to say about their family members' experiences in the war?
Well, they're very proud of them for the most part, and they know about them. Folks from DeWitt had a soldier who went to France. He got married in February, and then he mustered out in the fall of that year, went to France, stepped on French soil, and got sick almost immediately. They think he had pneumonia. But about half the people that died in World War I died of disease, like pneumonia or influenza, which was also going on at that time, which made a horrific situation that much more difficult. And then we have an African-American gentleman who was raised in part by his grandfather. His grandfather was Lou Henry, who grew up in Germantown in Davenport, and the son of a slave. Lou Henry's father had immigrated or had traveled to Davenport after the Civil War, and they settled in the West End. Lou knew how to speak German, so when he got over to France as part of the African-American Corps that was over there, the Army used him, we are told, as part of the intelligence efforts, like, with the Germans. And then Marion Crandall, she was a school teacher, 46 years old, at the school, we now call it Rivermont Collegiate, but back in those days it was St. Catherine's Boarding School, and it was located on Tremont Street in Davenport. And Marion had spent her college years at the Sorbonne in Paris, and she wanted to go back and help the French. So she signed up with the organization at the time was the Christian Association of the YWCA, traveled over to France, got just a little bit of training. She was only there 6 weeks when she was in a canteen or kitchen area, and German artillery shells bombed it, and she died in that blast. She's buried in France. Those are three examples. And then the 90-year-old Alice Lynch, I just love her. She belongs to VFW 828 in Davenport, which has a lot of connections to World War I, as it turns out. Anyway, Alice's dad helped rescue the soldiers. So that was her dad that did that. And the stories go on, but the local folks that know what their people did, we have a couple folks from the German-American Heritage Center whose relatives worked in different ways. Dean Fickey's great uncle, he was a former mayor of Davenport, and he stood up for the German Americans that were under such scrutiny in the county by state and federal authorities. So we have that. And it's just been an amazing adventure to see what our community did in response to what our historians call the world's first modern machine war. And importantly, the Rock Island Arsenal and the economic effects of it came from the Rock Island Arsenal. And the arsenal grew from like 600 employees to 13,000 employees in just like 12 months. And those folks needed houses, so housing went up in Rock Island, Moline, and Davenport. Hundreds of houses were built by the U.S. Housing Commission to house these employees. And the workers developed all the items that soldiers needed, that the horses needed, because they used horses in those days, and then also riflery and artillery. So there was a multitude of ways that this community changed. The historians say changed to actually become more modern and enter the more modern era. That was a turning point for us in the Quad Cities.
Yeah, this is fascinating. And I'm wondering, I mean, we're talking a century ago.
Yes.
So behind the scenes question of how did you go about tracking down people through their lineage and finding people who were related to either the soldiers at the time or people who might have been discriminated against for being German?
Absolutely. Well, that was a challenge and took, I made dozens and dozens of phone calls. We know who the war dead are, so that helped tracking names that I recognized from Scott County. Also, a predecessor of mine, John Willard, had done some reporting on this. Sadly, he had retired a number of years ago, so I couldn't use the folks necessarily from his era. But then I talked to, I think, three different legions, American Legion-type operations, and found I found Alice through the VFW 828 in Davenport. And then put out a Facebook post. So I tried social media, and the library was a great help, the Davenport Public Library. That's where I started, actually, in their Special Collections Center, and the German American Heritage Museum, where a couple of the folks that work there. But there are as many names as I could put in a story or in this story, and over 50 pictures. So I would suggest folks look at it online, which is qctimes.com, because that's where all the information actually is gathered.
Right. What kind of images do you have?
Well, we have an image of Mr. Struve's funeral. His mother moved heaven and earth to get Private Struve back from France, where he had died of pneumonia. So his mother, Anna Struve, called every official she could think of, and she got his body 2 years later, moved back to Clinton, Iowa. He's buried in Oakwood Cemetery. But he was the first soldier to come back to Clinton. So he had a huge funeral, and they took pictures. So we have black and white pictures from that. His descendants live in DeWitt now. And Alice had pictures of many of the people I interviewed had pictures of their ancestors through their parents, usually. So that's sure. Kind of how we got the lots of black and white pictures.
That's Deirdre Baker from the Quad City Times talking about her big story on the impact of World War I in the Quad Cities area. You can read her story and view historic photos this Sunday in the Quad City Times or at qctimes.com.